Reading from Acts chapter 6. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Sicilia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, "This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us." And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel.
Our message this morning is about the profile of a faithful man. The profile of a faithful man. In the light-hearted film The Santa Claus, the main protagonist accidentally causes Santa to fall off his roof. And when he tries on the big guy's suit, he begins a process, really a transformation, whereby he becomes Father Christmas, much to the delight and the excitement of his young son. It doesn't happen overnight, but it happens nevertheless. And when at first he objects, he's informed about the Santa Claus and told, "You put on the suit, so you're the big guy now." So Scripture is also filled with lots of big guys whom perhaps we sometimes call heroes of the faith. And whether it's Abraham or Moses or Ruth or David or Peter or Paul, they all effectively put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I guess we might call it the salvation clause. In Galatians 3 and verse 27, we are told, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And these men and women went on to become great men and women of the faith. Stephen is also one of those men. And whereas we might not all be able to be great men or women of the faith like them, we can all be faithful men and women, and we can be men and women of great faith and seek to love and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ with all our hearts. And for that reason, it helps us a lot to look closely, more closely, at this man, Stephen, And as I said just a few moments ago, our message this morning is called Profile of a Faithful Man. So in Acts 6 and verse 4, we read of the apostles giving themselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And that saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them, so setting them apart. And Stephen was one of those who was set apart to faithfully serve his Savior, Jesus Christ, which he did. And we want to do the same, don't we? Having come to faith in the Son of God, we want to live our lives to serve him. But how do you do that? And what does it actually look like when you are doing that? Well, there's a wonderful summary of faith, or rather, there's a wonderful summary of what makes a faithful man or woman in the Apostle Paul's last letter to Timothy. Now, many years ago, can't count how many years ago, I think it was probably one of the first Bible studies that I ever did in the church that I was a part of. And as part of my preparation, I read the background to 2 Timothy. And some of you will know that it is set around AD 66-67, where a man called Nero is ruling the Roman Empire. And having previously burned Rome to the ground and blamed it on the Christians, the Emperor Nero unleashed a most terrible persecution on the church, on Christian men and women living throughout his realms. Now, Paul was no stranger to persecution and chains, but at this time he found himself alone and abandoned in a Roman prison cell. In a similar situation, which you can read about at the end of the book of Acts, Paul was confident that he would be released from his prison. And indeed he was. You can read about that confidence in Philippians and chapter 1, where in verse 24 and 25, Paul writes, "Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith." It seems that he had an intimation from God that he would indeed be set free from his imprisonment. But this time, in Timothy's letter, he knows that there's no escape. And facing certain death, the apostle wrote these words in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." And so these men, Paul and Stephen and the other apostles, they're real men like you and me, flesh and blood. They live real lives, the kind of lives that you and I are living today. And they face real circumstances and sometimes real persecutions in their lives. And Paul's experience, Paul's testimony there in 2 Timothy 4 is very moving and very powerful. In fact, when I read the background and I read the letter, I wept. It brought tears to my eyes to think of this godly man coming to the end of his life alone and abandoned by his fellow men in that Roman prison. And his words admirably round off a faithful life, or a life of faith lived for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his glory. Now, you notice his words, "I have fought, I have finished, I have kept." Paul speaks of fighting, he speaks of finishing, he speaks of keeping, and so completing that walk of faith in Jesus Christ. And this is the inspiring and faithful walk of a man of the faith. Does it move you? Does it stir you? Does it inspire you to want to do the same? Because that's the purpose for which these words were written. And we can say of Paul, he was surely going home triumphant in Christ. And Paul and Stephen and all of those who strive to live faithful lives, who finish the walk of faith, will hear the Saviour say those remarkable and wonderful words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Matthew 25 and verse 21. Imagine that. Imagine hearing those words for yourself. "Well done, good and faithful servant." And my encouragement and exhortation to you all this morning is that you can aspire to the same experience as Paul and Stephen. I don't mean in prison and chains. That's not what any of us want to have to experience. But a faithful life, a faithful walk, and a life that is filled with service to our Lord and Saviour. Men like Paul and Stephen are pioneers. They're pathfinders. They're men who have gone on ahead of us so that you and I can read and see how they lived and follow on in their footsteps. They have led the way for you and me here this morning to follow. Whom you can follow if you know how to do that. And it need not involve a Nero. It need not involve the Sanhedrin. But yes, it might involve some discomfort. It might involve you being plucked out of your comfort zone. It might be at times a little bit difficult. But as you set out to follow in the way that these men followed, you and I ought to know it can be done. You and I, we can do it. And by the way, Paul's testimony, "I have fought the fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith," is the same testimony as Stephen, that he also did those same things. Although his service, of course, was very much shorter than that of Paul's. And so I've got three thoughts for you this morning on the profile of a faithful man. And the first is drawn from those verses 4 through 6, where faith rolls up its sleeves. Faith rolls up its sleeves. And the first thing to notice about Stephen is how Luke describes him. So the apostles instructed the church to seek out certain men in verse 3. "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." And so straight away, these men are men of a certain kind. They're not just anyone with a pair of hands and feet, as it were. In other words, they have and they have met a particular profile. They are reputable men. They are men who were filled with the Holy Spirit and faith. They were men who were also filled with wisdom. They were wise men. Now, the church is not very old at this point. In fact, it's something perhaps like 1 or 2 years old at the most, not very much more. But here are followers of the Lord Jesus who, after just 1 or 2 short years, have already gained some renown. Now, they haven't put themselves forward, saying to the others in the church, "Look at me, see how faithful I am, see how good I am, how spiritual I am," none of those things. They have been picked out, and they've been picked out by their fellow believers who have put them forward as good men. So before they were approved by the apostles, they had proved themselves. They had rolled up their sleeves and they had worked out their faith in Jesus Christ, because like master, like servant, they devoted themselves to the things and to the works of God. In other words, they got themselves involved in the daily life and the daily work of the church there in Jerusalem. And we might say that they went about doing good. Now that phrase ought to ring a bell, because the same words are used of the Lord Jesus and of his ministry. In Acts 10 and verse 38, we read that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, just like these men, and with power, just like these men, who went about doing good. So what's said about Jesus is a match with these men and with Stephen here in our passage. And so Luke describes Stephen as a man who was full of faith and of the Holy Spirit there in verse 5. Notice faith comes first. Because he is a man of faith, because he is full of faith, he is a man whom the Holy Spirit can use. And so what happens is that other people saw Jesus in him and in the others as well. And so from this, we can say that a significant part of being faithful and living a faithful life is looking like Jesus. It's noticeable when you look like Jesus. It has a noticeable effect upon those around you. And I think that it links very definitely with verse 7, where we're told that the number of disciples greatly multiplied, and even some of the priests began to believe. These men were men who looked like Jesus. And looking like Jesus involves having faith in Jesus. In other words, realizing and believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Realizing and believing in him, turning away from your sin and disobedience to God. Realizing that he's the Son of God and putting your trust in him and following him and his example and his life. Whose faith follow? We're encouraged to do that. Jesus was the man of faith, living a life of faith, living a faithful life. And obviously you can't look like Jesus without first believing in Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit in verse 3 and verse 5 who first of all brings about the faith that is spoken of here in these verses. And then he brings that faith out for everyone to see. So that these men and you and me, when that begins to happen, we begin to look like Jesus. And it's noticeable. Other people notice it. Those other believers who chose them to be set aside noticed these things about them. But the second thing concerns how you look like Jesus in practice. And I hinted at that just a few moments ago. So let's home in on Stephen. Again, Stephen is a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, according to verse 5. And this is the essential thing. So the thing about Stephen and the thing about Paul previously is that they were, well, we could describe them as action men. They were active. They were doers. They were servants. They were men who served the Lord Jesus. We could say faith is as faith does. And everywhere in the New Testament, and in the Old Testament, for that matter as well, you see faith and being faithful is as much about doing as it is about believing. And it brings to my mind that parable that Jesus told in the Gospels of the two sons in Matthew 21, where the father asked them to go out and work in his field, and one of them said, "Yes, sir, I'm going," but he didn't. And the other said, "No, I'm not going," but he did. In the end, which one was faithful? Which one did his father's will? It's not hard to guess, is it? So not just professing faith, but practicing faith. Because any Tom, Dick, or Harry can say that they're a Christian. In fact, some 2 billion people in the world today claim to be Christians. But not all who say Lord and call him Lord belong to him. And far from having a head in the clouds or in heaven, a life of faith is a very practical life. Faith works. Literally, faith gets to work. We're told, aren't we, in Ephesians, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. And what better worker is there than to serve the Lord in this way? And this is really something which is very important for us to grasp a hold of. James, in James 2:17, admonishes all, "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." And we see Stephen's faith as he works faithfully for the Lord Jesus Christ. But what's also important is that we're not talking about great works of faith and daring, notorious exploits that we might do for the Savior of biblical proportions. The Daniel in the lion's den kind, or the David taking on Goliath kind, or the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego kind, or any of those things. Or perhaps even Paul in prison, and Stephen, who is later martyred. And there are modern Stephens, aren't there? We've all heard of the man Jim Elliot, who lost his life for the sake of the gospel just as Stephen will in the next chapter. But faithful living begins, and faithful living is found in much more humble activity. And it might well continue in that same humble activity throughout life. You should notice here Stephen's task. It's there in verse 2, isn't it? At the end of verse 2, the apostles said, "It's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and wait on tables." Serving tables. We could say what Stephen was doing was he was volunteering in his local food bank. And in that way, he got to work and he worked out his faith in helping, in doing good, in serving others. Stephen worked out his faith in Jesus Christ. And he showed himself to be a man full of faith, as it says in verse 5. And all he was doing was copying Jesus. Now, there's an important lesson for us here. Doubtless, I've got no doubt, it was gratitude and thankfulness and love to the Lord that motivated Stephen to work in this way. Knowing all that the Lord had done for him, Stephen went out of his way to do all that he could for the Lord. He gave his best for the one who gave his life for him. And this was faithful ministry, serving tables, serving others. Stephen served his Savior, he served his brothers, he served his church. And I'll tell you how the Lord Jesus sees all of this. It's in Matthew 25 and verse 21, where the Lord says, "You were faithful over a few things." The Greek actually says, "over little things" or "small things. I will make you ruler over many things." And again, the Greek actually says, "over great things" or "large things." You were faithful in little things. I will make you a ruler over many things. And the key thought, key word here in our passage in Acts chapter 6 is the word diaconia in verse 2 and verse 4. It's the word that is translated as service and ministry. The work that Stephen did was to serve tables, the ministry of tables. And this kind of ministry is just as vital and just as important and just as recognized by the Lord Jesus as the service of the ministry of the word. In fact, the word that's describing both those two ministries is exactly the same word. And in fact, Stephen's ministry, serving tables and serving others, enabled the apostles' ministry. It enabled them to do what they were supposed to be doing. Lots of little things allow the bigger work to go on and continue. So faith rolls up its sleeves, just as Jesus did in his role as a servant. And doing is part of the profile of a faithful man. And so in any church, a church like our own here this morning, there's lots of tasks, there's lots of jobs, there's lots of services need doing. And faithful men and women get on and do them. And here's the Old Testament summary of faithful living. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. So faith rolls up its sleeves. But secondly, faith contends for the truth. So Stephen was a faithful man because he was a practical man and a serving man. But here's our second characteristic of a faithful man. It's in verses 9 and 10, just over the page. We read that there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, some disputing with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Faith contends for the truth. Stephen was a fighter. He believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he knew that Jesus was the Savior, and he contended for that. He contended for the faith, he contended for the truth, and he would not give way. And this also is something that makes you to look like Jesus. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, was also contending Jesus, who stood firm and could not be moved, which is what we want to be, doesn't it? In every way, we want to be those who are seeking to serve our Savior faithfully, to be just like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And of course, this is what God is aiming for as well. This is God's work in us. Romans 8:29 says, "Those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." And always God is in that process of making you and me more like Jesus. Because Jesus Christ is the perfect man. Jesus Christ is the man that Adam and all men were meant to be. Faithful, serving God, and holding fast to the word of God. Jesus is our living example of perfect, godly human nature. And to that end, Jesus came and lived in our world. And so all the things that you face in your life, Jesus also faced in his life, including the opposition of unbelieving men and women. We're told that God did not spare his own son, but that Jesus was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15. Jesus' faith, Jesus' character, Jesus' faithfulness were all tested. And so in his life and in his ministry, we see Jesus very often up against the Pharisees, or the Sadducees, or the ruling religious elite, and all of those men and women who oppose God's word. And we see Jesus as a robust Savior, standing firm, someone who contended for the faith who contended for the truth. Cue Stephen in verse 9 and 10. Because that's how Jesus lived, that's how Stephen sought to live as well. And doubtless the apostle, because that's what he became. There are many tiers of apostles in the New Testament. It just means messenger. And Stephen was one of those. Doubtless Stephen was a kind man, a gentle man, and a loving man. But a faithful man fights for the truth and stands up for it. I think you could say that almost all the great men of faith were fighters. Even timid Gideon, God gave him a tough task, and Gideon was afraid, but nevertheless he did it in his own way. Now here's the thing, Christians are not normally contentious people. What I'm saying here is not carte blanche for you to go out spoiling for a fight and looking for an argument. That's not what we're saying at all. We're not rilers, we're reconcilers. However, the New Testament does have a lot of military kind of language and imagery. So as Christians, we're soldiers. As Christians, we are men and women who have put on and do put on the armor of God. Jesus is our captain, whom we have enlisted under and are serving. And of course, we all have the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. And so Christians are neither the softy Walter kind of person or the wimpy people that the world likes to portray us as. You know, that vicar in Dad's Army really gets up my nose and annoys me. And it's always the same, isn't it? But Christians are not at all like that. Jesus challenged and rebuked the Pharisees. Peter and John were bold when they stood before the Sanhedrin. Paul very often contended with the Jews, his fellow countrymen, who refused to believe the gospel. And here, Stephen resisted and refuted these freedmen in verse 9. And we're told that Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom concerning his son Jesus and his redeeming work. And you and me and Stephen, all of us together, we have all received the truth. It's called the gospel. And Christian doctrine and Christian teaching, which we find in the gospel, which accords with the scripture, all of it is the truth in its entirety. John writes, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, in John 1, 17. So this gospel is the truth. And I'm saying this because sooner or later, and some of you will have already discovered this for yourselves, sooner or later you're going to step on the toes of the unbelieving world. And the reaction is often hard and violent, because the world wants its own truth. It doesn't want God's truth. And so there's a battle for the truth, and it's currently live and unavoidable. You will meet it in your own families. You will meet it in the workplace. You will meet it at large out in society and in the media. It's on the TV. It's on the radio, it's on the internet, it's at home, it's at large, it's everywhere. And it's particularly raging just at the moment in issues of human sexuality, homosexual marriage, and this whole issue of gender and transgender. And whatever else is at odds with the Bible and the gospel is a part of that opposition. And so we're all involved in this battle. And Christians, sadly, lose their jobs, they lose their livelihoods, they sometimes lose relationships and respect. And you're certainly going to need wisdom and patience and the Holy Spirit that are spoken of there in verse 10. And to be full of faith, just like Stephen. I think it's no small thing to be a Christian and to keep believing the things in this book in the days in which we live. And either God's word is true as it stands in its entirety, or the truth is pliable and relative and determined by our current culture and not by God. And so you must contend, but you must contend with respect, with strong determination, and with absolute faith in Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And that's what Stephen was doing, contending for the faith. He stood against a tide of Jewish tradition and gainsaying, but he stood, and he stood firm, and you and I need to do the same. So faith rolls up its sleeves, faith contends for the truth, and briefly and finally, faith counts the cost of that. See, holding fast to the gospel and the word of God has a price. And in chapter 7, Stephen is going to pay that price in full. You know, when Jesus proclaimed the gospel of salvation and peace with God, he warned his disciples very clearly about its cost in Matthew 10, verse 22. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. That's not a very nice experience to have. See, the gospel has a message that the world loves to hear about peace and forgiveness and love. But it also has a message that they love to hate, about salvation through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. You notice how the Jews here made Stephen out to be a blasphemer and a tradition breaker and an evil speaker in verse 11 following. Of course, none of this was true. It was all made up against Stephen, you see. But the truth is going to meet with deliberate misrepresentation. And that can cause a ruin of your reputation or of your character, or of your relationships. Jesus himself suffered exactly the same kind of things because faith must count the cost. But you see, like Jesus, Stephen knew the Lord's presence. That's at the end of the chapter here in verse 15. He stood steadfast with a face like the face of an angel because the Lord was with him in all of this. Staying faithful can be very costly, but it can be never worth compromising the truth. And a life of faith, I can tell you, is never going to be a trouble-free life. But in all of it, God remains our refuge. And I can assure you that you will never tread where the Lord Jesus hasn't gone before. And that's where Stephen is treading here, even if it's in the valley of the shadow of death. But you and I, nevertheless, need to follow faithful in the footsteps of Stephen, which are the footsteps of Christ. Faith rolls up its sleeve. Faith contends for the faith and the truth. And faith counts the cost. May you and I be of the same heart and same mind.